Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change.
Maybe welcome back. All right, let me explain a couple of things. Let's do a little bit of housekeeping. So, just momentarily, there is more housekeeping coming. Seems we have to clean up a little bit. So, Bill Johnson sends his great stuff. He says, I was clueless, bet you are too, plus introspection and earned disrespect, which is always great. He says, we all have those we follow. Are you being played? The amazing Polly rocks this, who is behind the people you trust. She opens with a large group of influencers. This is a bigger psyop than you would ever guess. Edward Bernays was an amateur compared to the wellness company. I wonder if the wellness company is that part of, you know, you think of what is going on with, you know, in parallel channels, maybe. You think of, what's it called? I can't think of it. William in Montana would know. Well, Stuart Brand and all those guys. The Whole Earth Electronic Link. Anyway, speaking of wellness, free association. Anyway, bigger than we think, Bernays is an amateur compared to the wellness company. Polly keeps going deeper and deeper. Don't be conned. Well, I'm not entirely convinced that Polly's not part of the op, but you know what? And I'm not saying that she is, but there are some interesting things. Anyway, this video is titled Amazing Polly Explores the Wellness Company and Red Flags? The Expanding Narrative Network. You know, sure. Possible. And then there are those of us who, you know, carry water, don't necessarily know it. The best Judas goats are those who don't know they are. They're very convincing, obviously. No, I'm not a Judas goat. Come on, guys, let's go. The more that we can exercise autonomy, I think it's not a bad thing. The more that you can use your own faculties and decide for yourself. As Joshua put it, I suppose, the question, who's in charge, who decides, reminds me maybe of Joshua. As for you, you know, choose ye this day whom you will serve. It's the same question that Elijah asked. If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. So Joshua, You know, there's that whole experience coming out of Egypt, and it was a generation. At that time, it was 40 years. Things have not gone well, and therefore now it's 20 years. But, you know, they wander in the wilderness, and my understanding is it's a short trip to the promised land. Why couldn't they go in to the promised land that God said, I'm going to give this to you to possess? They had a slave mentality. They weren't ready. And he said, I'm testing you. Anyway, Joshua, before he dies, he basically does what I would call the first recorded takeaway close. Nah, you know, he says, God is, you know, he says he will have no other, you know, have no other gods before me. And so you guys, you know, you should serve him, but nah, it's too hard. You can't do it. And they say, no, we can do it. We'll do it. And so, you know, he does this again. And finally, he says, you guys are a witness against yourselves. So just remember, you said it. The end of Joshua. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who's in charge? Who decides? So from beginning to end, Joshua is a faithful servant of the Lord. From when Moses called on him, the son of Nun, in Numbers 13, and changed his name in Numbers 13:16, I believe. Anyway, you know, Joshua and Caleb, you have the 12 spies. What happens, you know? Who is in charge? Who decides? So we have a certain amount of agency. This is a weird segue, I realize, but I'm going to go to Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's a weird segue. Not appropriate. I'm just going to say it's not appropriate, but you know what? The Bible and the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People should not be mentioned in the same sentence, but I'm doing it with that disclaimer. And this is not a self-help thing either, but I think there are a lot of people who feel stuck, paralyzed, the learned helplessness, as much as we would like to tell ourselves, you know what, that doesn't apply to me. I'm stronger than that because I can see that holographic structure. And, you know, as discussed, once you see it, you can't not see it and all that kind of stuff. But still, I think it's challenging. And I think we could all use a bit of encouragement and positive reinforcement. Again, you know, everything's conscripted, so not to be Skinnerian or, you know, not to engage in Dr. Spockian operant conditioning. Positive feedback will, not trying to do that, but I think we could all use some encouragement sometimes. So, because the gaslighting is so pervasive, like I was saying about the lying yesterday, I think I'll mention that example again because it just really stands out in my mind, especially because this is supposed to be, you know, if you find this behavior in the world, okay, no surprise. But I think even the world, you know, the Bible tells us this is the case. The world expects more out of Christian folks. You know, even though there is the persecution and the, you know, whatever. And I don't mean that in the corporate sense, the persecution that, you know, we hear about on CNN and so forth. I'm talking about the smarmy kind of stuff on an individual basis, more that kind of thing. But the world expects more. Show me what's so great. What's so great about denying yourself, not in an ascetic fashion, but, you know, okay, so what's so great? So the world expects more. And when, you know, this kind of dishonesty, it's just flat out dishonesty, is demonstrated in the so-called Christian community, then it discredits message and messenger all at the same time, or messenger and message, you might say. So what I'm talking about, just to back up a little bit, this example that really stands out in my mind, there's the situation, the International House of Prayer, IHOP KC deal. Mike Bickle is the founder of IHOP. And now there are all of these allegations, but I don't think that any of this is accidental. And I think it's all very well sort of orchestrated. Some of it's, you know, it's done in a way that allows it to happen that seems organic or whatever. Are you saying that everybody is, you know, part of the theatrics? No. Again, you know, people get caught up in things. That's why I mentioned Kitson's low-intensity operations and the counter-gang strategy and the holographic structure that he diagrammatically represents in Figure 5 on page 128 in Chapter 20 or Chapter 6. So the story, you know, the article that I mentioned yesterday in the Kansas City Star by Judy L. Thomas, updated February 14th, titled "Woman Says IHOP KC Founder Groomed, Sexually Abused Her When She Was 14 in the 1980s. This is the article in question. So there's the story. There are the Jane Does in this story, but now there's Tammy Woods Rittering, who is the original, you know, first Jane Doe, no longer Jane Doe. And, you know, that's the story. When she was 14 in the 1980s, well, guess what? Now it's 2024. So let's just say it was 1984. We're 40 years on from there. At what point do we take responsibility for ourselves? This is sort of what I was talking about yesterday. So you read the article, and toward the end, they quote her as saying, you know, the article says, Woods said she finally decided she had to come forward because in the past 6 weeks she's lied to the to three loved ones who asked her direct questions about her relationship with Bickle. And then she's quoted, and suddenly here he is all these years later controlling the narrative of my life. She said, this chafes my soul to live as a liar. It's not who I am. And I thought, I can't do this. And then I realized he's doing this to these younger women, all of them. And I just snapped. Oh, heart, you go, girl. I'm not supposed to say that. How can you be so cavalier and trivialize this? Well, I'm not actually doing that. I think she is. And it's pretty obvious if you look at this through the, I think, the appropriate lens and objective context, that this is very self-serving. So people are asking questions. Now, all of a sudden, the lid is off. The jig is up. There's no more benefit to the ongoing tryst of several decades, if you read the article and others like it. A very strange story. At no point did she just make a hard break and say, this is not appropriate. There's a lot of weird stuff. I won't get into the details, but to say, you know, in the past 6 weeks, she's lied to three loved ones who asked her direct questions. This seems more like a CYA episode to me than anything remotely concerning the welfare of others. And the proof is to say, this chafes my soul to live as a liar. It's not who I am. That's factually incorrect. That's grossly incorrect, because At 14 years old, as I said yesterday, if you read Numbers chapter 30, fathers and husbands have a responsibility to their daughters and wives to protect them. And this is controversial, but sometimes even from themselves. It's interesting. What is it? Numbers chapter 30 is 16 verses long. The first verse is basically, listen up. God has something to say. Second verse, guys, if you say something, do it. You know, if you make a promise, keep it. Cool. And then you would expect the third verse, ladies, same goes for you. Nope. The next, 14 verses or so, is for ladies. If she makes, you know, if she's in her father's house and she makes a vow or an oath, and on the day that he hears of it, you know, whoa, what is that all about? That's interesting. It's a picture of Christ, I think, but, you know, fathers and husbands have a responsibility to God to care for their daughters and wives in particular. Anyway, not to get off on that tangent, but where was her father when she was 14? What was going on there? And I don't want to put any ideas in anyone's head, but I'm going to say, what about the possibility, you know, why was her father not putting a stop to this immediately? 25-year-old married guy, youth pastor, that's interesting anyway, couple of kids palling around with a guy's 14-year-old daughter. There's a problem there. Did something happen? Is it possible that maybe, you know, in her own home that, you know, maybe something was going on and maybe Mike found out about that and said, look, Dad, if you don't choose to look the other way, then, you know, maybe I got the goods on you. Doubt it. That's unlikely. But I'm just saying, there are perspectives that most people don't consider for obvious reasons. That's just, you know, it violates our discretion to do so, I think. But I'm just saying there are possibilities that may exist that we don't think of because we don't want to think that way of people, especially in with this kind of, you know, with this kind of scenario or these optics in view. So anyway, she's 14. That's a problem. Something happens that's not okay. And I would say, just in simple terms, she's definitely a victim at that point. But then she turns 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. And at some point, she's her own woman, let's say 18. And now how old is she? I think 57. So, you know, for 40 years, this continues. She gets married. She's the family babysitter for Mike and Diane for a time. And so throughout those 40 years, she's been lying to presumably her own family, Diane, Mike's wife, her own husband, or maybe misleading people. She's been bearing false witness, biblically speaking. So to say this chafes my soul as a liar, it's not who I am, is a lie itself. It's not very self-aware. You've been living that way your entire adult life. That's the hard truth. And when this happens in the so-called Christian community and the world looks in and sees this, it's very, I would say it's very confusing. It's very disturbing and unsettling. This is not supposed to happen. And this is where bumper stickers like God save me from your people come from. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi. Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats. And even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back.
Dragonfly out in the sun.
Hopefully this makes sense. You know, if you can be conned into this kind of stuff, then this brings to mind for me those mental images. Speaking of Hannibal, you know, the scene where Anthony Hopkins is feeding Ray Liotta his own brain and Liotta's saying, "Oh man, something smells delicious. What is that?" And Julianne Moore is horrified looking on. I feel like Julianne Moore. not so stupefied being drugged, but, you know, seeing people doing this, encouraged to, you know, cannibalize and suicide themselves and others around them, thinking it's a great thing. Look what we witnessed with the COVID shenanigans and what we're still witnessing. You probably still see people wearing masks. I know I do. And it's, I mean, we should all be outraged. We should, people like Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates should be in prison. The Gates Foundation should be shut down immediately. And whatever it, holdings it has should be dispersed wherever, you know, appropriately that would go. Those assets should be seized immediately. If we had any sense left as a society, but you still have people engaging in hero worship. It's insane. Context is essential. By definition, context is the part of a text or statement that surrounds a particular word or passage and determines its meaning. Or the circumstances in which an event occurs, a setting. So for the example that I gave, for Tammy Woods Rittering to say, "This chased my soul to live as a liar. It's not who I am." A snapshot right now, you know, if you see her for any length of time, going back a week, a month, a year, perhaps. I'm just generalizing here for illustration. But you might say, look, she's a perfectly upstanding person. She balances her checkbook. She does this and that, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But the context goes back in this case to those early days and comes forward to all of those secret meetings with Mike Bickle that she wasn't honest with her own husband about. And these, probably these three people, three loved ones who asked her direct questions about the relationship that were probably asking questions back then that she lied about. And, you know, dishonest with Mike's wife. Context is key. There was a time in this society where you might get shot for that kind of thing. And you know what? The judge and everybody else might look on and say, well, you know, crimes of passion. I mean, what did you expect? Doing this kind of thing. Or her husband finds out about it after the fact and realizes that he's been hoodwinked and made a fool of by both these people. There was a time in this society. So this is evidence of where we are. That someone can say this, and there isn't public outrage. The World War II generation would probably look at this and say, I understand what happened in the beginning was wrong, but where have you been for the last 40 years that makes you think you can make a statement like, this chafes my soul to live as a liar, it's not who I am? That is exactly who you've been for your entire adult life. So someone needs to have a come to Jesus with Tammy Woods Rittering, I think. And this is not to call her out. And this is a tough thing. This is the perfect example because you're not supposed to say this kind of stuff in today's emotionally fueled America. But it's exactly the kind of thing we need to say. And we need to get our wits about us again and start thinking properly. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us, What has happened for them since starting Extendivite? Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Quick things, a clip and to the phones. Well, first things first, we'll do this first, I suppose, so we get this out. the seven habits thing, you know what? The dust settled a little bit. Scripture and the seven habits, yeah, don't go together. But I already mentioned that. Anyway, these are good points. Good points to make. The broader context, though, is we should not subscribe to the cult of Mormonism or any other cult or gang or whatever on earth. That's not good. You know, but that's the challenge. See, that's the thing that has been exploited. There's something inside of us all that wants to be affiliated with some gang or some group. And so, you know, it comes back to this idea of who's in charge, who decides. And as I have posited before recently, in my humble estimation, what is a cult? A good working definition is anything typically with religious adherence or devotion, but not just in the traditional sense of religion. Again, context, meta is important. That elevates man, typically just one or a few, more than others. You know, Mike Bickle would be, and you know, I think what Tammy is doing has more to do with covering her own rear end and trying to give herself a soft landing than to help anyone else. Because, I mean, when you think about it, again, if you step back, what is the context of her going public with these things? The facts are not just being put out and left for everyone to decide for themselves. No, there's a story, a tale that's being spun. And this gets back to the note on 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 that's critical to all of this. Speaking of context, and I mentioned that yesterday, basically that the adulteress and the adulterer, the false teacher, which is exactly who these people are in this case. And I know that's probably something that, you know, is taboo to even say. How dare you suggest that this young lady, well, sure, at a certain point, but then she grew up. And she had an opportunity to put the wrong things right to whatever extent she was able through her own autonomy and agency, and she chose not to do that. Time and again, she kept coming back to this fairy tale thing, and she got something out of it, as Dr. Phil would say. And the irony is, you know, the story goes, speaking of Dr. Phil, you know, he's telling her and all these other ladies, well, I feel like God's telling me Diane's going to die in her sleep one of these days, and then we can be together and live happily ever after. And like Dr. Phil would say, if he'll do that to you, or if he'll do that with you, he'll do that to you. So, you know, that's the Amnon and Tamar story. Anyway, a cult, in my mind, a working definition is anything typically with religious adherence or devotion, but not just in the traditional sense of religion, that elevates man, typically just one or a few, more than others, above the Lord God Almighty, the one true and living God. Where does every cult end? Jonestown. So, to the Covey stuff. Remember this? Habit 1, be proactive, page 70 of my copy. Within the freedom to choose are those endowments that make us uniquely human. This is in contravention to the technocratic cyberneticians who would have us reduced to automatons, you know, the personality tests and all of that. People think there's no way that we can be steered. Well, we have the supercomputing, and over 100 years ago, it was already really figured out, you know, that there are these, I don't know, a couple hundred different buckets that we can fall into, and you mix these up differently, you get a few million different options. But with the computing that we have today, that's, you know, light work. It, you know, basically to game a person using those metrics is a millisecond worth of work. I digress. Within the freedom to choose, well, that's if you subscribe to that, if you are an automaton, who's in charge, who decides? Within the freedom to choose are those endowments that make us uniquely human. The other thing is we don't want to. I've mentioned this before, but Exodus chapter 20 tells us that. We don't want to take personal responsibility for ourselves and our own lives. We want someone else to. That wasn't always the case in the society, I think. I think Tammy Woods Rittering is an example of that. What Jocko Willink might call extreme ownership. Continuing, in addition to self-awareness, we have imagination. Not necessarily a good thing, I digress. The ability to create in our minds beyond our present reality. We have conscience, a deep inner awareness of right and wrong, of the principles that govern our behavior, and a sense of the degree to which our thoughts and actions are in harmony with them. So, Darwin, explain, riddle me this. How does every person, you know, if we're supposed to rely exclusively on the Sagan standard, then where does this come from in every person? And why are we horrified when we find it absent in a person? Again, I digress. And we have independent will. The ability to act based on our self-awareness, free of all other influences. We could go down that rabbit hole, but we won't right now. Those who disagree, whether religious or otherwise, which is all the same camp ultimately, even the most intelligent animals have none of these endowments. To use a computer metaphor, they are programmed by instinct and or training. And the Norbert Wieners among us would say, maybe, you know, could we do that with people? That would be really great. They can be trained to be responsible, but they can't take responsibility for that training. In other words, they can't direct it. They can't change the programming. They're not even aware of it. Does that sound like a lot of our fellow Americans these days? But because of our unique human endowments, we can write new programs for ourselves totally apart from our instincts, totally apart from our instincts and training. This is why an animal's capacity is relatively limited and man's is unlimited. But if we live like animals out of our own instincts and conditioning and conditions out of our collective memory, the herd mind, the lizard brain, all that stuff, we too will be limited. The deterministic paradigm comes primarily from the study of animals, rats, monkeys, pigeons, dogs, and neurotic and psychotic people. The deterministic paradigm. While this may meet certain criteria of some researchers, because it seems measurable and predictable, the probabilists like that, don't they? The history of mankind and our own self-awareness tells us that this map does not describe the territory at all. Our unique human endowments lift us above the animal world. The extent to which we exercise and develop these endowments empowers us to fulfill our uniquely human potential. But we don't want to be good humanists, so let's be careful. Between stimulus and response is our greatest power, the freedom to choose. But, you know, even Viktor Frankl might say, that's not what I meant. Again, I digress. Let's see, a couple other things real fast. The ability to subordinate an impulse to a value is the essence of the proactive person. Reactive people are driven by feelings, by circumstances, by conditions, by their environment. Proactive people are driven by values, or who's in charge, who decides. Carefully thought about, selected, and internalized values. Um, holding people to the responsible course, you know, people like Tammy, is not demeaning. It is affirming. Proactivity is part of human nature, and although the proactive muscles may be dormant, they are there. By respecting the proactive nature of other people, we provide them with at least one clear, undistorted reflection from the social mirror. There you go. Reactive language versus proactive language. In the great literature of all progressive societies, love is a verb. Reactive people make it a feeling. No control problems involve taking the responsibility to change the line on the bottom on our face, to smile, to genuinely and peacefully accept these problems and learn to live with them. It's the nature of reactive people to absolve themselves of responsibility. It's so much safer to say, I am not responsible. If I say, I am responsible, I might have to say, I am irresponsible. It would be very hard for me to say that I have the power to choose my response and that the response I have chosen has resulted in my involvement in a negative, collusive environment, especially if for years I have absolved myself of responsibility for results in the name of someone else's weakness. This reminds me of, you know, Philip Marshall's book, The Big Bamboozle, Mark Twain's words on along those lines, Carl Sagan, again, Science is a Candle in the Dark, the demon-haunted world thing where he says the same thing, easier to con someone. And this reminds me of the 2016 election coming forward. Can't tell a person anything. There's a certain amount of, at some point, stupidity factors in. We got to get back to that, the analogy of the pigeon and the chessboard and all of that. Just a couple more things. If I really want to improve my situation, I can work on the one thing over which I have control, myself. I can stop trying to shape up my wife or work or my own weaknesses. I can stop trying to shape up my wife and work on my own weaknesses. I can focus on being a great marriage partner, a source of unconditional love and support. Do you see how this applies in the example that I gave? Again, not trying to besmirch anyone, just it's a public example. Circle of influence. Happiness like unhappiness, but we don't want to be good Jeffersonian Epicureans. That's an issue. So anyway, again, I digress. Final deal here. Through our human endowments, well, backing up, it is essential. It is also the essence of our growth. Through our human endowments of self-awareness and conscience, we become conscious of our weaknesses, areas for improvement, areas of talent that could be developed. We're increasingly marshmallowy, though, you know, in a world typified by participation trophies. Do we have the strength of character to do these kinds of things for, you know, to admit to ourselves in particular that maybe we're failing, falling short, there is a deficiency here? All right, concluding. Then as we recognize and use our imagination and independent will to act on that awareness, making promises, setting goals, and being true to them, we build the strength of character, the being that makes possible every other positive thing in our lives. It is here that we find two ways to put ourselves in control of our lives immediately. Are you ready? Brace yourself. We can make a promise and keep it. Wow. That'll make the world a better place, huh? And that is what God says. If you, again, Numbers chapter 30. For example, We can make a promise and keep it, or we can set a goal and work to achieve it. As we make and keep commitments, even small commitments, we begin to establish an inner integrity. That word integrity is interesting in its orthodoxy. That gives us the awareness of self-control and the courage and strength to accept more of the responsibility for our own lives. What do we see in the welfare state society, in the Cloward Piven strategy-driven society? Isn't there an effort to further induce the Freudian plague? And if you look at the Biderman and Zimmer's manipulation of human behavior, that image of the broken pieces on strings that comprise the marionette. By making and keeping promises to ourselves and to others little by little, our honor becomes greater than our moods. What a concept. Hopefully that makes sense. We didn't get to the clip. Oh, well, to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Brian.
I'm curious, did you by chance happen to listen to Jenna filling in on Saturday night for Ingrid Castle, having Dr. Paul and...
I did not. Not yet.
Okay, well, it was beneficial to all, in my opinion. I think that the boomers out there, people of the older half-centurion plus generation, need to realize that RBN is presenting a platform that does not exist out there, and you can't take all your assets and bank account to the grave with you. I'm encouraging donations to the station for what RBN provides.
It's me that, as I look around, what I see is, speaking of the gaslighting, the influence and reach of RBN is broad, but there's zero acknowledgement of it generally outside of this, you know, space. And so that's fascinating to me. I mean, I alluded to some of that yesterday, but I see it in ways. People are listening. The black hats are definitely listening. The white hats are listening too. If there's, you know, if we're not all gray hats now. But that's fascinating to me. Anyway,
I'll tell you what you will find fascinating is you've had Aman Jabi on, and we encouraged him to call in that last precious half hour of putting people like Kevin McCarron feet to the fire. You're going to mention communitarianism, which communitarianism is going to be helpful for us, Kevin. It's all bad, says Aman. I'm back and forth with Kevin and saying, you know, encouraging you to get up to speed with so many of these people, including RBN callers, some of which were stellar. I just thought that this would be my attempt to get you to give it a listen. Breiser in Ireland, who's semi-retired from his broadcast, but he went on with Scorpio on Saturday, and he wanted to, let's talk some communitarianism, Dave Scorpio. And you know that Scorpio and Giuseppe, they poo-pooed this subject as a complete nothing for a long time, but Breiser is a flat earther, and he's a Stephen Lanka, no virus, and yet Kevin McCarron doing his almost daily broadcast says, no, I'll have Reiser on. He has a different opinion than I do on viruses, but what I guess during the Ingry broadcast, Jenna played a little clip in the 50s, Dr. Alice Stewart in England, she discovered that X-rays were clearly linked to childhood leukemia. Well,
right.
Her career was dropped to the trash bin when a Sir Richard Dahl discovered that tobacco causes lung cancer. So this infighting among experts is what I pointed out to Kevin McCarron, and he agreed, yeah, it's not my thing is the end-all, be-all. Dr. Paul and his EMF concerns are unrelated to what is of importance. So we need to find a happy medium between a variety of possible influences to what the plan of reducing us from 7-8 billion to 1 billion so that we can all live.
Maybe we should, start thinking for ourselves a little bit, I think, and engage in less hero worship. We got a couple other calls. We're not going to get to both of them probably. Brian, I appreciate
it. You bet. Over now.
Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Tom.
You referred to Stephen Covey. Just wanted to tell you that no matter how you judge him or the Mormon cult, that evil cult that influenced him, he and Sandra were good students or learners.
No doubt about it. No argument there. Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, he benefited being open-minded. He actually died at age 79 in a bicycle accident, where he was out exercising and enjoying the blessings of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8.
And it's interesting. It's interesting what happened after his death. His organization got gobbled up by Franklin, and now it's Franklin Covey, but it's really not Covey anymore. It's you know, the important bits of his work are gone. Ascent for all intents and purposes.
Like I say, he was open and teachable. That was his greatest asset.
And very, very well read, very well studied, I would say. There's no denying that. I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you. James, sorry we missed you. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. Yeah, the dancing Israelis. So
even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.